Will you turn to the book of Jude with me for a moment or two? I'd like to share with you some of the things that are contained in the teaching of verses 18 and 19, if we get that far. But I want to share with you some of this teaching. It's a call to persevere. If you have the NIV and you're using it today, you'll discover that that's the title of this paragraph, a call to persevere. So often we want to give up persevering, hanging on, keeping on. And the apostle says this in verse 17, "Dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly lusts. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." He goes on, and we examined the next two verses in previous times. "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Let me take you now into this 18th and 19th verse, or these verses, I should have said. It's important to look at them and to discover the teaching of them. In the old version, the authorized version, verse 18, instead of scoffers, we have mockers. The people that mock God. He speaks of these who separate themselves from God and mock God and follow their ungodly desires. It's a terrifying thought that there are three ways of recognizing mockers or scoffers. They show up in one of these examination areas or all three, a multiplicity of each or all of these. We'll show you a scoffer, a mocker, somebody who mocks God. First, they separate themselves. Now, the Christian is called to be separate from the world and to be separate from the world system, to be separate from worldliness, to come away from worldliness and be separated from those things that are not of God. That's one type of separation, a holy separation. But these people separate themselves not so much from, but to. And the word teaches us that they separate themselves to something. Now, if you go to the old English translation, you'll discover these are the mockers of sex. S-E-C-T-S, or rather the makers of sex. They make groups, splinter groups. They cause breaking away from the Church of Christ. They are those that pluck up the bonds that God has set. They are people that cause the perimeters that God has set to be expanded by their own effort and by their own vigorous chasing after something that is not of Christ. They separate themselves by creating splinter groups, by creating the atmosphere in which some sort of spiritual anarchy can take place. Now, the immediate thing that comes to mind are people that cause a group to leave a church to establish another church in another area or in another part of the town. And we've seen lots of that. But let's bring it a little finer under the microscope, and let's enlarge the vision, let's enlarge the picture, let's enlarge what we're looking at. And people that mock God or are scoffers in the last days, and I believe we all will accept that we are in the last days, the people that do this sort of thing as we look under the microscope of the Word of God are those that cause the splinters within the church body. Years ago in another church, on our staff was a man who started to work, and I, I came out on a Sunday, and we had a very amicable congregation, a very loving congregation. And I came out on a certain Sunday, and I didn't see and I couldn't touch, but I certainly felt that there was something very much amiss in the congregation. I didn't say anything to anybody, but after the service, I went back into my room and spent some time in prayer, saying, "Lord, what did I do?" And when it was revealed to me I had done nothing, I then was able to say to them, "Lord, what is it?" And that very evening, the trustee board met, and they said, "Pastor, we want to talk to you." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, now what's wrong?" And I went into the trustee board meeting. I'm glad we don't have trustees. That's always, for in Baptist thinking, unfortunately, trustees are not quite spiritual enough to be deacons. And so it's a second-class diaconate, which is deacon. And I went in and they said, the spokesman said this. He said, "Pastor, it's come to our attention that your staff member wants your job. Fire him." When I climbed off the ceiling and took long enough to take a breath, I told them, "Mind their own business." I did it very politely in a Christian manner, of course. But I said it. But as I left, a couple of deacons walked alongside me for a little way, and they were trying very hard to broach a very difficult subject, and they didn't know how to broach it, and neither of them were brave enough to blurt it out. But a week or two later, they came to me and they said, "Look, what we were trying to say, we are now going to say, because we have called all the deacons together to make sure you hear this. This sidekick of yours wants your job. Fire him." Now, I was being very spiritual at the time and full of spiritual things and thinking, and I had not long done a graphic study in the life of King David, and I saw this as a usurping of authority by an Absalom, and King David just got up and walked away and said, "Okay, you want the crown, you got it. See what mess you make with Israel. Let God deal with this whole situation." And so I, not too gently, told the deacon board what I was thinking. "Don't let's lift our hand against the Lord's anointed, even if we don't agree that he's too anointed, or the anointing just missed him. Let's be very careful." And we were very careful. We were truly without sport. We were very gracious. But what happened took over 3 years to repair. He created such mischief in a group of people that they almost split away from the, in fact they did really split away in mind and heart from the main body of the Christians of that fellowship, and they became a separate group. And he created this group, and it was very difficult for me in the ensuing 3 years to minister to that group, to get to that group, to reach out to that group. For I, for one, felt very awkward and didn't know how to get over the gap and didn't know how to build a bridge. And they didn't know how to come back to me, having within their hearts been disloyal. And they knew they had. But I didn't know how to reach to them. And so there was a kind of an awkward thing. It was rather like being on both sides of the Rhine when the bridges of the Rhine were blown up in 1944. You could see the enemy and the friend, but you couldn't reach. And so we tended to fire bullets at one another instead of building a new bridge. People that do that sort of thing are listed for us here very conveniently and very simply. They are scoffers, mockers of God. Let's look at the second way we can recognize these people. They're sensual. Oh, here's a nice word, because that means surely they're sexy with a twist. No, it doesn't mean that at all. The word to be sensual means to be animal. People that are gutty people. People that speak before they think usually fall into this category. They are animal or soul people, soul men, it really means in the Greek. It really says these are soul men, people that are gut level. They feel something and speak it before they think it through. They're not always very rational, and they're certainly not terribly intellectual. They don't think the thing through. They work on instinct. And they're a tragic sort of people. But we all have a little piece of this within us. The animal or the sensitive part of them is sensual. It's the sensual part that we have in common with beasts. And so we respond or we react as beasts. You'll see this in a discussion. You see this sometimes in word fights. Somebody says, black. And the other person, just out of sheer honoriness, says, grey. I saw this in great evidence one day. Our dog, that was a German shepherd, was laying in the sun, minding his own business in a very lop-eared sort of way. And fussing around him on the lawn, around him, was a neighbour's dog that was one of these terrible little things that doesn't really look like a dog. It was sort of an odd little thing. A great pet to the people that own it, and a very loving little thing, I'm sure. A yappy little thing. And our dog, weighed 120 pounds, was watching this maybe 10-pound little beastie run around and jump over his tail. And he was doing it with great yawns. And I came round the corner, and I was still a distance from him. And I called him by name. I said, "Oh, Kim, you allow anything to go on if I'm not watching?" And as if he understood me, the next time the dog ran by, he grabbed him with his mouth, by the neck. Just grabbed him, shook him round and round and round in the air, and threw him in the air, and then looked at me with almost a smile on his face. He reacted as a beast. Sensuality is reacting as a beast. It is the base beast instinct that is reacting. Not responding, but ever reacting. The soul is involved, the body is also involved as the organ or the instrument where the soul does this sort of thing in its beastiness, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us something about that. Now, all of this refers to being sensual, natural. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Apostle Paul speaks of the natural man, the natural person. We excuse ourselves by saying, "I've got rights, you know. I may be a Christian, but I've got rights." And we like to think we really do have. But the person that is committed to Jesus has committed his or her rights and cannot reclaim them. "Take my life," we sing, "and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them be filled with ceaseless praise. And if I want to take a couple of minutes off to ream somebody out, my life is not full of ceaseless praise. I don't have the right. I committed myself to Christ. If I want to justify my position, if I want to justify my character, if I want to justify myself, I really don't have the right, for God has caused everything to happen to me so that I can understand more of His love, more of His grace, more of His beauty, more of His holiness, and less of me and the world around me." But we see the world around us shrinking from us like receding gums, and we like to pretend that we're healthy. The third thing, and quickly, not having the Spirit, says the word here. They do not have the Spirit. And the word Spirit is with a capital letter, and so one can honestly and kindly say the Holy Spirit. The precious Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, the Holy Ghost of Christ, is not in these people. Now, they may give you a great, wonderful dissertation and be able to express themselves in a Christian manner, but the Spirit of Christ is not there. They are scoffers or mockers. They are people that are sensual, gut people, and they do not have the Spirit. Not having the Spirit. These are those people that are destitute of true grace and therefore true regeneration. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. You will have difficulty with this type of person discovering what they understand biblically to be the definition of forgiveness. It's always partial, or it's always conditional. It's seldom unconditional pardon. You see, these type of people that the apostle is writing about are people that are sowers of incompatibility. And they have an incompatibility with the Spirit of God, so they sow it. And they sow it in fleshy and in carnal living. Here's a way to understand what a carnal life is. It is an ordinary natural life that has dresses or has suiting or has disguise of being spiritual. Now, these people are in the last days, and we shall see in further studies how we need to avoid and approach these people and how we need to be able to love them into the kingdom, if it's possible. And how we are to approach such people, we'll see that as we study this. There isn't time for more on this study. But these are people that in the last days will infiltrate the work of our Lord Jesus. Just very quickly, in the early part of this chapter, we read that in verse 4, certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago, look at the words in the NIV, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Immorality is not only sexual depravity. Immorality comes in a variety of guises. We need to be careful that we don't just put that word on one instance of sin or one area of sinfulness. Notice that the Greek says this, they didn't just slip in. The Authorized Version says that they came in unawares. But the actual Greek tells us that they came in through the back door. They did not declare what they really were. They are people that do not accept the standard of Christ. They are people that have pretended to. They've come in through the back door, not the front door. They haven't done everything with it from their heart. They have done things with ulterior motives. We need to be very careful. Dear friends, says our word here, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold, they said to you. In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. And you say, why would a person do such a thing? Why would a person pretend and not really be? Why would a person bother? Why would they waste their time? The answer is this, and it's not difficult to see. It's this. Satan appears as an angel of light. And when he does, we are confused. And the mockers come. Now, if today you find yourself in an area where you've been something of a scoffer mocker, mocker scoffer, you can have fun with those words. Or if you find yourself as someone that's gut level and speaking from that level as a beast, reacting instead of responding to most things, I quietly and very lovingly ask you to just consider your state and your position before Christ, for the Spirit of Christ is not there, and Jesus only can give you that Spirit, and you need to quietly bow your head and open your heart and say something like this: Lord Jesus, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in and stay, but come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious Father, thank you for the time that we spend, for the fellowship we share, for the joy of your grace, the beauty of your love, and the glory of your holiness. Speak, Lord, quietly to us now. Refresh our hearts, that we may examine ourselves. And if there's mockery or scoffing going on within us, we ask, wash us, Lord, that we may be clean every bit. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.